Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord said to Adam, "When you eat of it, you will surely die." And die Adam did. And not only Adam, but all his descendants since. Since this, the whole of humanity became cursed with death. Death is a frightening reality. Since the fall of our human existence, we like to think that we might be able to cheat it for a while, fighting off this reality. We'll forestall it with medicine, with surgery, with exercise and diet, with whatever we can do. But eventually, death will have us. Few have escaped. Enoch, Elijah, they come to mind. Although we don't like to face it, we see the marks of death in our flesh every day. Aging, illness, disease, pain. These point the way to that inescapable end that lies ahead of us all. Death, it seems so final, doesn't it? But that again is your eyes talking. I know you've heard me say this before, but it's worth saying again. Close them tonight. Close your eyes tonight and let your ears do the seeing. You see, we had in our Old Testament reading, it always ends with the vigil ends with the three men in the fiery furnace, right? They refused to bow down to the idolatrous image, Nebuchadnezzar, and they faced the grim specter of death in Babylon. They were to be thrown into the fiery furnace for their uncompromising faith in God, the God of Israel, Yahweh, a faith that would not allow them to worship the golden idol of their king. So the king decided to give them just one more chance. He would again sound the call to worship so that they might fall down before the golden idol. He warned them. You heard it tonight. If you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? The three men responded, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Were they not afraid? Could they not see the certainty of their doom? Where did they get such boldness in the face of death? So they were thrown in. They fell amidst the flames. The flames were so hot that the men who escorted them died at the door of the furnace. As the king watched Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there are three Hebrew names which make actually a quite delightful sermon outline if you ever are thinking of one. Hananiah, Yahweh is gracious. Then Michelle, who is what God is, and then Azariah, Yahweh has helped. Do they burn? He beheld the flames, and yet no harm. Nebuchadnezzar was in shock. Moreover, only three men had been cast into the furnace, but now there's a fourth. The fourth is described as one like the Son of God, the Son of the gods, understood to be the pre-incarnate Christ who protects them. The men walk through the furnace and back into the land of the living, unscorched, not even smelling of the fire through which they had passed. These men had passed through certain death and came out alive. In faith, they feared not the flames of death, but trusted in the Lord their God. As they confessed to Nebuchadnezzar, the God we serve is able to save us. Yet, like everyone in our readings tonight, they all saw death. They saw death come for them. I went through all the resurrection accounts in the Bible. You have the widow at Zarephath in 1 Kings, the Shunammite woman's son in 2 Kings, the guy whose body was thrown into Elijah's tomb and touched his bones and came back to life in 2 Kings 13, the widow at Nain's son, Luke 7, Jairus' daughter, Mark 5, Lazarus, John 11, the saints who rose on Good Friday. And according to church tradition, there's a weird tradition that they ascended into heaven with Jesus. So we could say maybe they didn't face death, if that's true. Although I don't see it in the scriptures anywhere. I'm going to assume that they just died again. Then you have Dorcas, whom Peter prayed for and God raised. And then my personal favorite of all the resurrection accounts, except for Jesus, of course, is Eutychus, the young man who was, well, sitting too close to a window and fell asleep while the pastor was preaching a little long, that is Paul, and he died. And then Paul prayed, and he was raised to life again. And every single sick person Jesus ever healed, from Peter's mother-in-law through, every lame person Jesus was enabled to walk again, every deaf person Jesus gave hearing to, every blind person he gave sight to, and the same is true for our loved ones who were raised in baptism and died in faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Death comes. It came for them, and it will come for us. The grave swallowed up. But unless our Lord tarries, we will join them there someday. But the resurrection of all flesh also comes. So tonight we recall when our Lord entered into death for all mankind. He who is God Almighty entered into our humanity and took the curse that we deserve, death upon himself, so that we wouldn't see it. On Good Friday, the purpose of his incarnation was fulfilled, as he was crucified and died upon the tree of the cross. And then two men who were secretly his disciples, Joseph and Nicodemus, religious leaders, members of the Sanhedrin, request Jesus' body from Pilate. Now, this is a little side note that hit me. But Pilate agrees to give them the body, which shows you once again that Pilate believed that Jesus was innocent, because someone who was an insurrectionist that was crucified, their body was never handed over. It wouldn't have been given to be buried to the family and friends. It would have been left to decay and rot and be eaten by dogs, as part of the curse, the punishment of their sin. Joseph and Nicodemus are in such a rush as the Sabbath begins 3 hours after our Lord cries out from the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished." So they quickly wrapped his body in clean linen shroud and 75 pounds of spices and oils and laid Jesus in Joseph's unused tomb. There, he who knew no sin and yet became all sin for us rested in the tomb. I received a text this morning asking, what was Jesus doing today? Laying dead. After 6 o'clock, though, tonight, we're now on the third day. We've now made it to the time that we can start celebrating the resurrection. And the text tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary saw where they laid him, just so they could come and finish the work of preparing the body for burial, well, on Easter morning. Now the chief priests and the Pharisees show that they had heard about Jesus' teaching, his disciples, about the events that had unfolded. As he said, but they completely rejected everything he had said. Sir, we remember how that impostor said, well, he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. It is interesting. Did you know what the penalty for grave robbery was in Rome? Death. Tiberius Caesar had issued a decree. They've actually found a copy of this decree. It was punishable by death. It was this inscription was discovered in Nazareth that states this punishment. So one would have to ask, why would somebody think that the disciples who ran away in fear would now have the courage to risk death for stealing the body of Jesus? So to add authority to the temple guard, Roman guards from Pilate are sent, and a seal is added to the tomb. No one is getting in, and no one is worried about a very dead Jesus getting out. But death cannot contain Jesus. He is the Son of God, after all. As he who was taken by death has now overcome it. And he who descended into hell has loosed the pains of hell for all who believe. And so our Lord Christ Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the devil for us all. He did not lay in the tomb defeated, but triumphantly waiting his resurrection on Easter morning, when his triumph would be made public. Jesus brings his triumph to us through the sacrament of holy baptism. St. Peter says that baptism now saves us through the resurrection of Christ. He, having died, risen, and ascended, is now in authority over all, visible and invisible, even over the power of death itself. He once entered the fiery furnace to save the three young men. He who spent the Passover in the grave now enters the waters of holy baptism that we remembered our own baptism tonight from, to bring us through death to life. There, according to St. Peter, we are put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit. That which was sinful in us, by the power of God's word through baptism, is slain and destroyed. And we are raised new creatures in Christ, who strive to live according to the Spirit, who will never die. And so, having died and risen again spiritually, we have nothing to fear from physical death. Its sting is removed as well. For Christ will also open even our sealed tombs, if his return is delayed, and by his word will call forth our bodies for eternal life, the very bodies that have partaken of his body and his blood, the very body that is joined to Jesus' death and resurrection. That which was sown perishable in Christ is made imperishable, and that which is mortal will be made immortal. For his flesh covers ours. His blood flows through us. This grants us then forgiveness, life, and salvation. And I feel so happy to say this tonight. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.